Have you ever gone to a museum and wondered, how did that item get here? Who owns it? And who should? Well, several British museums are taking on those questions right now, and they have to do with items seized in the British Empire's colonial chapter. In 1897, they took more than 10,000 artifacts after a raid on Nigeria. Among them are key ancient artifacts known as Benin bronzes, and it looks like some are headed back to Nigeria. One person in the middle of this repatriation conversation is Neil Curtis. He is head of museums and special collections at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. Neil Curtis, welcome.
Hello.
Nice to have you. Your university last year returned a critical artifact that it bought at auction back in the 1950s. Can you describe this item and why it's so valuable?
Yes, we returned a late 18th century bronze casting depicting the head of an Oba, king of the Kingdom of Benin. And this was, as you mentioned, one of the ones that was looted in 1897, but the university bought it in 1957. But the more we've been thinking about it recently and the move towards repatriation across the world, we really felt that it was stolen property and should be returned. So we had a ceremony in Aberdeen where it was returned to representatives of Nigeria, of the court of the Oba and the National Museums in November, and it's now back in Benin City.
And recent weeks have brought more momentum on this front. About a month ago, Oxford and Cambridge pledged to return some 200 items total, and the Horniman Museum followed suit just a couple weeks ago, and that makes the first government-funded institution to hand treasures back. Are we onto something significant here?
Well, I think there's been a huge shift, but this has been something that's been happening for a while. You can go back to November 2019 when Jesus College in Cambridge University also committed to return, and then closer to you, the Rhode Island School of Design declared in November 2020 that they would return. But it took quite a long time to work out how to do it, who should be involved, who it should be returned to, what the process would be. So it really wasn't until October last year that we really had the first ones handed over to Nigeria. And I think we're seeing now that a lot of other people have been talking about it for a while. We've seen the Smithsonian, we saw Glasgow Museums also fairly recently spoke to Nigerian delegates who came to Glasgow, and they've returned as well. So there's really quite a shift.
And help us understand a little bit more why you think this is happening now. It seems on one hand, museums, cultural institutions have been kind of asking these broad questions. Seems like there's also been a lot of conversation or criticism on social media.
For many years, there have been demands that things be returned. The Oba of Benin was actually demanding return of things back in the 1930s, so it's not something that's new. However, I think museums in Europe and North America, their response has changed over the past few years. And I think initially it was a demand from Indigenous people in North America and Australia and New Zealand. More recently, we've been starting to think about places that were colonised by European powers, particularly in Africa just now. We're really focusing on that. And I think we really can't forget the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement really brought the how much African material was held in Western institutions, and really the feeling that this was something that was definitely wrong now.
I want to ask you about the British Museum, which in some of the materials I read appears to be maybe a little bit more resistant or slower to move. This year, the Grand Egyptian Museum is scheduled to open, and many have raised the Rosetta Stone, a central piece taken from Egypt. It is in the British Museum. Do you sense resistance? I mean, is there an argument, perhaps an argument we should know about, against returning items?
It sometimes tells you about what a museum is for. And I think traditionally we've often thought of museums as places which have treasures, and it's that possession that's really mattered. And over recent years, museums have started focusing more on how they work with people and those relationships, and so what things mean to people. Now, I think for national museums, like the British Museum, their identity is bound up with it being the treasures, the greatness, the history of the nation. So I think they have a harder job. I think they also, particularly in places like London and New York, where there are many international visitors, they also tend to think of themselves themselves as showing things to the world. So they have a very different reality to those of a university museum or a civic museum. And certainly the British Museum, by dint of being the national museum of a colonial power, did acquire things from places around the world. So it has more of those items like the Rosetta Stone, like the Parthenon sculptures, like the Benin bronzes, than I think most other museums do. And it really has got into their being as a museum. If they lost those things, I think they'd feel lessened, which is not something that we felt for our mission as a museum.
So, I mean, you've described these various individual announcements by different institutions in the UK, in the United States, to return items to Nigeria and other African countries going back to colonial times. Should there be, or is there, a broader process to do this rather than kind of waiting for one institution at a time?
It comes down to the sort of laws of property ownership. That the University of Aberdeen was able to return the Benin bronze was because it had legal title to it. Therefore, it was able to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to see a law that would affect the rights of ownership. We did see it with the return of items that had been looted or forcibly sold during the Nazi period in Germany and Western Europe, that there was law brought in that said, no, these things were illegitimately acquired and therefore they had to be returned. So I think there probably is a place for law. It's much easier within our jurisdiction. So I mentioned NAGPRA, that federally funded museums within the US are, you know, compelled to return things. But working internationally is much harder because you have all the different laws of the different countries and different types of museums. So it's going to be a really difficult process. And in many ways, I think what we've got to think of more are about ethics and trying to work out what is the right thing to do and encouraging all these museums to think in similar ethical ways. So with the Benin bronzes, I actually think it was a very, very simple decision. I mean, this was stolen property. All we were doing was returning it to its owner. I think there are other ones which are much harder where we don't have clear evidence of looting. And so that is very much a matter of ethical thinking about where is the right place for something to be.
And I understand University of Aberdeen, your university, still has many items, but perhaps the story behind those items, in some cases, is the story unclear?
The University of Aberdeen is, you know, it's an ancient institution founded 1495, and it's been acquiring things throughout its history. But the real burst of collecting, when the collection grew most, was in the 19th century with the growth of collecting sciences and with graduates going out and working in colonies around the world. So we look after material from all continents of the world, and they were given usually by graduates who didn't tell us a lot about how they acquired them. So we don't really know whether they acquired them as gifts or as purchases or whether there was trickery or coercion involved or, you know, outright force. So there are a few cases, and this is what we're starting to do, is to investigate the provenance where we can identify, like the Benin bronze, that it clearly was looted. So there was very little issue there. But for other ones, it's much harder. And indeed, sometimes I think it's better to think about the value of things to people today rather than sort of raking over and trying to prove exactly what happened 100 years ago.
That is, whatever the paper trail, let's talk about what the right thing to do is.
Yes.
Finally, is there any concern about returning artifacts? I mean, could they be abused, leveraged by autocratic governments to rewrite their history, anything like that?
I think the way in which objects are used and cared for is, you know, is very problematic, and, you know, in all places. I mean, we've seen during the Second World War, museums in Britain were bombed and material destroyed. There's no real guaranteed safe place to look after anything. I think with some items like the Benin bronzes, you know, the point was that we didn't have a right to have it, so we're just returning to its owner. And in many ways, we don't have a right to then judge what the owner will do with their property. And I think we've got to think, you know, what is the benefit of returning things and not worry too much about what will happen. I think there's no guaranteed future for anything or any of us. And I think what's better is building these positive relationships today. And that might even include us, you know, lending or giving Scottish things for Nigeria so they can have that understanding of the rest of the world, not just having these international museums in Europe and North America.
Neil Curtis is head of museums and special collections at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. Neil, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you very much.